Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org. Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Just 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, the Broncos have a new owner. The Broncos entered into the purchase agreement with the Walton Penner family for a record $4.65 billion. The Rob Walton and his group, the Walmart group, that's what we'll go with. Zach Stevens joining me now from DNVR Broncos. He's our Broncos insider. Nobody does it better than Zach. Zach, my man. Hey, first things first, I'm just glad it's over. I'm ready to move on and turn this page, so to speak, and just be done with all the questions about who's going to own this team.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely, Brady. And once Rob Walton got in the race, we pretty much knew this day was going to come. It wasn't a matter of who. It was a matter of when. As long as Rob Walton wanted this team, he was going to get it. And we actually found that out from a report put out by Pro Football Talk earlier today that said Josh Harris and his group were willing to pay $5 billion for the Broncos if they had a guarantee that Rob Walton would not top that, and there was no guarantee out there. Rob Walton was going to continue to top it until it was his. Rob Walton really wanted this. And Brady, when you have $55 to $70 billion, you pretty much get what you want.
I mean, it's just like, and he has all that left over still, right? I mean, this is nothing. It's crazy to say $4.65 billion is nothing to him, right? I mean, it's absolutely insane when you look at the number, and the previous record with the Panthers was 2.275 or something like that. It's absolutely nuts.
Yeah, it's absurd. I can't even understand what this type of money is. But when you see it, it is huge. Not only record-breaking, not only the most expensive sports franchise ever sold in North America, but it is over double the previous record sales price for an NFL team. Like you said, just 4 years ago, the Panthers sold for $2.275 billion. Now the Broncos over double that at $4.65 billion. And just what is crazy about that is the Broncos and Rob Walton still have so much money left over. And so this, to me, when you look at owners, you never exactly know what an owner is going to be. But one thing you want them to have is a lot of money and a lot of power on that on their side. And that is certainly what Rob Walton brings to the table. Brady, not only is he the richest owner in the NFL at $70 billion net worth, he blows it out of the water. The next richest owner in the NFL is David Tepper of the Carolina Panthers. He's worth $16 billion.
Wow.
Rob Walton is worth four times more than the second wealthiest owner now. And he's also the third wealthiest sports owner in the entire world.
That's insane. That's just absolute insanity. Certainly puts a gigantic beacon, even more so. Broncos country's famous, obviously, anyway, being one of the top, overall franchises in the NFL. But you add this guy to the mix, my goodness. Now here's what's interesting to me, Zach. Rob Walton's, what is he? Is he 77 years old?
Exactly.
So how does this structure look like? Because obviously 77, I'm not saying he doesn't have, some great years in front of him as far as fun things he can do with the Broncos, but this seems like it's more about the group, the family, the Walton Penner family ownership, more so than just him.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Rob Walton is the guy with the very, very, very deep pockets. So he was able to say, if I want the team, it's going to be mine. But we already see a succession plan in place, Brady. Now, it's not 100% that this is what's going to be the case, but we know there's three main people involved in this in the Walter Penner family. Rob Walton, of course, is on top. Then his daughter, Carrie Walter or Walton Penner, and then her husband, who is Greg Penner. Those two are going to be running the day-to-day operation for the Broncos. They're 51 and 52 years old. They're going to be running the day-to-day operation for the Broncos under Rob Walton as the owner, the active owner of this team. And so it only makes sense that then when Rob Walton gives the team to passes it through his family, that it's going to be Kerry Walton Penner and Greg Penner who take over. And Rob Walton can do that even though he has multiple kids. It's an extremely different situation than what happened with Pat Bowlen and the trust. Pat Bowlen, pretty much all of his wealth was tied up in the Broncos. So he could not pass it just to one kid if he wanted to give all of his kids an equal share of his wealth. The team had to be sold and then divided in order for his wealth to be distributed properly. However, with Rob Walton and his couple of kids, he has $70 billion. So this $5 billion piece can be handed to one of his kids as part of a $20 billion that they're each going to get. So this isn't something where when Rob Walton passes away or decides to move on from the team and keep it in the family, he doesn't have to split it up amongst his family. And it's very clear that already in place, Carrie Walton Penner and her husband, Greg Penner, are going to be the ones that eventually take it over.
Now, just throwing these numbers around, Zach, billions and millions. It's, I mean, the kids, as you mentioned, like, they're going to get a giant cut of this deal, multiple millions a piece. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy to look at the numbers being thrown out here. But all right, Zach, this is a good thing then, right? I mean, you got people doing the whole Walmart shtick. We've got a lot of good Walmart jokes out there. Those are going to be fun for a while now. This is ultimately a good thing, great thing. What are your thoughts when you look at this? And obviously, we have a lot of details to work through. What kind of owner is he going to be? But you said so first thing, the money's the big deal. So is this a great deal for the Broncos?
Yeah, I certainly think so, because when you look at owners, really, you have to look at the money first and make sure that you're going to have enough cash on hand to not just build a new stadium or make upgrades to a stadium if you want, but also to do football operations. And we know the Broncos, during Pat Bowlen era, Pat would do everything he could to give the Broncos everything they needed, but the cash was sometimes very tight. That is never going to be an issue. The first order of business for Rob Walton could absolutely be giving Russell Wilson a 5-year, $250 million fully guaranteed contract. And why that matters to have a rich owner in order to do that is you have to put about 80% of that contract in escrow of the guaranteed amount. It's not like every team just has, you know, $200 million sitting around that they can put in escrow. Rob Walton can absolutely do that. And also, new stadium, that's going to be on the docket for Rob Walton. And here's the thing, he can afford it. He can afford a $5 billion new stadium out by DIA. And in fact, it's going to be a city out there. He can afford that. He can pay for it privately if he wants. And then you look at some of the other things beyond the money. Rob Walton has ties to Colorado. And then you also try to look at intent of this. Does it make sense for a 77-year-old with $70 billion to buy a $5 billion organization just to try to suck money out of it for the remaining 10, 20 years of his life? To me, that does not make sense. I think this is something that he is going to want to use the right way, and that is to win.
So, Zach, are you pretty sure that that's going to be one of the next, maybe not next steps, but a new stadium out by DIA? And if so, can you imagine if the Broncos can create something like we see at Coors Field, which we all know the product on the field is not great, but it's everything that surrounds it. Imagine if the Broncos had both.
And that's exactly what it would be, Brady. They would build an entire city out by DIA, Bronco Land, you can call it after John Elway. And this is something that would just it would go beyond football as well, because it would have a roof or a retractable roof. It would be the place for Broncos games, but then also it would be a place for international conventions. It would be the place to hold Super Bowls. It would be the place for massive concerts all throughout the year. And Power Field at Mile High gets used like that occasionally, but it doesn't have that draw. And so I do think this is going to be on the top of Rob Walton's priority list, is probably building a new stadium. What he could also do is he could dump hundreds of millions of dollars into Empower Field at Mile High in order to keep the team there. But it just makes more sense in the way the NFL is going with these SoFi stadiums, with these huge complexes. You move them a little bit outside of downtown, And then you just build an absolute complex around it.
That would be just absolute insanity, and in a great way. I mean, a lot of fun. Seems like it's in store for the Broncos, a very positive thing. Okay, Zach, what does this do for the future of certain guys like Joe Ellis, John Elway, even Peyton Manning?
It's a great question. Joe Ellis, he is going to hang it up and retire once this is this ownership transition is complete, which really could just take a couple of months. A month or two or three potentially. Joe Ellis is going to step away. John Elway right now is an outside consultant to George Payton. He will remain that if he wants to be, but there was a lot of speculation about him or Peyton Manning potentially joining an ownership group. It's going to be a little tough to get into the ownership group now that it's complete and the sale is in place, but you could see, and what I would advise the Waltons to do, try to get Peyton on board in any way possible. I did mention that Greg and Kerry are going to be the day-to-day operators of the Broncos, and that is interesting because does that leave a role for Peyton to be president? Potentially, but also they may want to run the day-to-day operation. So I would like to at least see some sort of advisor role for Peyton Manning because he wants to be with the Broncos, and that would be a great first step. And John Elway, I would imagine he would stay on as an outside consultant to George Payton as long as he and George want that.
So, Zach, at the end of the day, and again, we'll see what the future holds for Manning and Elway and such, but at the end of the day, you don't foresee like any changes within this organization anytime soon that would be upsetting. Obviously George Payton's got his contract, but we always talked about that with a new owner coming in. Do they want to get a whole new era started up on their side of it? You don't foresee anything like that, and obviously moving out of the city would never happen. You don't see anything negative that would ultimately come out of this that might change things up drastically to upset Broncos country.
Moving out of the city, absolutely not. The only moving out of the city they're doing is going close to the DIA for that huge complex we talked about. And in terms of, you know, moving on from George Payton after this year, Nathaniel Hackett or making some crazy changes to the personnel or coaching department, I don't think it would happen. I would advise against it, especially the direction the organization's going. But Brady, paying George Payton his $20 million for the rest of his contract and Nathaniel Hackett, you know, $10 to $20 million the rest of his contract, that's nothing
right
to Rob Walton. So if he wants to come in here and blow things up, he absolutely could. Now, I don't think he's going to do that because it just would not make sense with the direction the team's going. And if the team keeps winning, you have to imagine that they're going to keep things in place. But that is just one thing that we don't know is a guarantee. They could have their own staff that they want to bring in. And it's their team now, and they just paid almost $5 billion for it. So it could happen. That's something that I do not want to write and discount away, but I don't think it will happen because it just wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. I think with me, it's almost like this stress of when a new owner or manager comes in to run a company or something, and you're like, okay, things are going well, but maybe they want to put their own spin on it. They want to do it quickly, but I tend to agree. I think it would be crazy if there were any major decisions as far as that goes. Speaking of a major decision, how about Russell Wilson, Zach? At some point, the Broncos are going to have to decide if they want to he wants to be the highest paid dude, doesn't he, at this stage? You tweeted it last night. They're going to have the money to do all of that. That won't be an issue, obviously, salary cap and such. But my question to you, is Russell Wilson, does he warrant that kind of money that he's ultimately going to want?
Absolutely. Any quarterback that is even close to that top group warrants that, and you cannot let them go. And Russell Wilson, we can argue if he's, you know, the seventh best quarterback, the third best quarterback in the NFL. He is certainly close enough to that top tier, if not in that top tier, where you pay that, Brady. You don't mess around with contract negotiations. You don't try to upset him. What he asks for is what he gets. And it's crazy to say because you can't approach every position like that or you wouldn't be able to field the team. But with Russell Wilson, we've learned it the past 5 years. You have to have an elite quarterback. And also, the price of quarterbacks is only going up. We thought it was crazy when Brock Osweiler got $16 million from the Houston Texans. We thought it was crazy when Jimmy Garoppolo got $27 million from the San Francisco 49ers. We didn't think it was necessarily crazy when Patrick Mahomes got the 10-year, $450 million contract, or half a billion dollar contract because he's Patrick Mahomes. But those numbers were nuts. And now Everyone thought it was crazy that Deshaun Watson got 5 years, $230 million fully guaranteed. And by the way, that was crazy that he got that.
What a nightmare the
Browns are in right now. But that shows you a guy that hasn't played for a year has so many allegations against him. He's still got $230 million. The longer they wait, someone else is going to get a new deal for $300 million. It's time to sign Russ up right when Rob Walton takes over. There's no reason to wait.
So is that true then, Zach? Russell, ultimately, that's what he's going to want, is to be paid more than Aaron Rodgers? Is that where you see him, or is he going to be okay in the top three, top five category?
Yeah, I think he's just going to have to reset the market. And that's not speaking for Russ personally, but that is just when you look at all these quarterbacks, none of them take discounts except for Tom Brady, which is just wild that he did that for so long. But these quarterbacks, you reset the market if they're even close. Now, if you're an average quarterback, okay, you're not going to reset the market. But if you're even borderline top 10, you're probably resetting the market.
Yeah, wow. Well, there's a lot of... listen, at the end of the day, Zach, it's exciting. There's a lot of excitement surrounding this. Maybe if Russell Wilson isn't here and you're dealing with Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater and we're talking about the ownership situation, there would still be a sense of uneasiness, wouldn't it? I mean, we'd be going, okay, this is great, but what about the on-field product? But now that you mix this in with Russell Wilson and a new coach and a fairly new GM, there is this wonderful sense of newness and fresh start for this Broncos organization that I think ultimately fans should be pretty pumped about.
Oh, 100%. And just look, the Broncos in a two-year span have a new owner, GM, head coach, and quarterback, and you can make a very legitimate case that all four of those are significantly better this year than they were 2 years ago. And Brady... on top of that, Russell Wilson is going to make Rob Walton look like a really good owner to start off. He's going to make Nathaniel Hackett look like a really good coach, just like Aaron Rodgers did in Green Bay with Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur, the winningest head coach in his first 3 years in the NFL. We don't know how good Matt LaFleur is of a coach. At least I don't know how good he is. If you dropped him on another team, how good would he actually be? We don't know, but he doesn't have to apologize for that. And that's what's going to happen with Nathaniel Hackett, George Payton, and also Rob Walton. Is they're all going to look great. And so the initial era of all of these guys is going to look really darn good, and they're going to be given the benefit of the doubt after that.
Well, a lot of cool stuff, man. Zach, appreciate you. As always, my man, exciting times. I know you were up into the morning hours working on stories left and right. You are one of the hardest working guys in this industry. Appreciate your time as always, and we'll look to catch up. But we didn't even talk really OTAs, but when you have this kind of news surrounding the Broncos, it's hard to talk about anything else. I got about 20 seconds. How's Jerry Jeudy doing?
Not good. Oof. He limped off the field with what he said was a groin injury on Monday. Returned to practice, but in sweats, did not practice. So that's something we're going to follow. He should be shut down for the rest of the offseason and get him ready for camp.
All right, my man. Well, we'll be following you for updates on the latest. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. We'll catch up with you soon, okay?
Right on. Thanks for having me on, Brady.
Thanks, man. Zach. Great guy. Man, he's doing fantastic work. This stuff, he was all over it with Rob Walton. He's all over it with OTA's information, Russell Wilson. So there he is. If you miss any portion of our interviews, our segments, whatever, you can check him out at thewholeshow.com or 1310kfka.com. I'm going to have Sean Keeler from the Denver Post on a little bit later on in the show. His headline, actually coming up at 12:30 there, Jade's headline in the Post last night was about David Roddy, who is working out with the Nuggets. Exciting times. His headline was, Nuggets need mean. CSU Rams star David Roddy wants to be Draymond Green of Gen Z. Could it be match made in NBA draft heaven? Which leads us to our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. The Nuggets are drafting at number 21. Should they take Roddy at number 21? Is it too high? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, live from the Allo Communications Studios, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
David Roddy was in Denver working out with the Denver Nuggets yesterday. Boy, would that be just a match made in heaven, especially for us up here in northern Colorado that are very familiar with Mr. Roddy. Michael Malone and Roddy just cutting it up, man, having a blast, talking to each other, laughing. Roddy's making them laugh. We're going to talk to Sean Keeler of the Denver Post about his story about Roddy might be a missing piece for this Nuggets team. Could it be? We haven't really, it's picking up steam suddenly. We haven't been talking about it much, but we're going to talk to Sean about that coming up. Before we do, shout out to No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. 12:29 the time. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at greeleystampede.org.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Maybe that's a good song there for this there, Jades. Great work by you. The Nuggets need to get a little bad, need to get a little mean. Our guy, Sean Keeler from the Denver Post, I've been a reader of his for a while now, but the first time we got him on the program here, love the title. Nuggets need mean. CSU Rams star David Roddy wants to be Draymond Green of Gen Z. Could it be match made in NBA draft heaven? Maybe so. Joining us now, Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. Sean, my man, thanks so much for giving us some time today.
Thanks for letting me step on your lunch hour, man. I appreciate it.
Anytime, my friend. I've seen you out and about with CSU. You're all over the place. It's an exciting time in Denver sports, Colorado sports, really. I mean, my goodness, you have the ownership situation now with the Broncos. We're done with that. Russell Wilson's exciting. Charlie Blackmon hit his 200th home run, and we're crossing over with the stud from CSU, David Roddy, working out with the Nuggets yesterday. So, my goodness, there's no shortage of things to talk about.
Yeah, and a little thing called the Stanley Cup Final.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot it's going to be so long since they play.
It's going to be like 9-10 days. So yeah, we're going to forget. We'll be like, oh yeah, we got to finish this off.
It is weird. I'm like, oh yeah, I can't wait for the Abs. Oh wait, that series was done 9 years ago, so we'll be waiting for a while. Sean, can you give us some your thoughts as far as, you know, David Roddy working out there? The Nuggets have the 21st pick, and in some corners, people are going to say that's too high for David Roddy. But I don't know, man. Maybe I'm a fanboy. I would love to see it.
I'd love to see it, too, but, I mean, that's just me personally, because David's been one of my favorite college players to watch, period, and I'm going on a couple decades at this and a couple different stops. That said, it might be a little fanboyish, to be honest.
I fully admit, absolutely.
I will say that, and this is to his credit, and it's one of the reasons why he's kept his name in the pool, I think 31 to 41 is not crazy talk. I think 21 might be a little hopeful. And I certainly think a lot of the Bill Simmons of the world would their heads might explode in the reach category if that were the case. But I think he's going to get his name called. And at some point, if it's low one, early two, that's good money. And that's a good shot to make a roster. And if you're David, that's all you can ask.
So for the Nuggets with that 21st pick, I mean, do you see a scenario where maybe they do like him enough and they're not married to anybody necessarily? And I know they've worked out several exciting names that we've kind of gone through this last couple of weeks. But, I mean, maybe they really got to like him. I mean, we've all talked about it. Once you get to know David, it's like, hey, as a person, he's going to be a great representative. Can he play at the next level? Do you see a situation where the Nuggets are like, you know what, we can trade back even and make sense of it, maybe accrue another draft pick or something? And get David perhaps earlier in the second round.
Yeah. In that scenario, that wouldn't be crazy. And they're not tipping their hands. And Calvin Booth, the new GM, is a pretty low key guy. Anyway, he's a good poker player. I wouldn't want to play with any of my hard earned money against him somewhere at the table because I wouldn't know what he's got rolling. I think that's a possibility if you're looking to try to find a Roddy Nuggets match. Because that seems to be the slot, and they have a few needs, and clearly it's defense up and down the roster, and whether that's somebody big, somebody on the wing. And to think about somebody like David, as you well know, when you've done a little bit of everything in your college career, it's going to be an interesting kind of, I don't want to say dilemma, but it's an interesting challenge to see how a team pictures you in a role when your collegiate career has been kind of having no role other than star and score and help us. You know, when you've been a 2-5
sure.
and guarded a 2-5 at CSU and been successful with that with a few Power 5 opponent slips that I can think of that I'm sure David wishes he had back too, the NCAA tournament game being one of them, obviously. It's kind of a good, but it's a good problem to have. And these teams wouldn't, the thing that should excite you if you're a CSU fan or you're a David Roddy fan is he told me that the Nuggets were his 8th visit and his 2nd just to the Nuggets, and that he's got somewhere between 7 to 12 to go before draft night. So when you have that wow. kind of airline itinerary, people are going to take a shot on you, I would think.
Sean, doesn't it seem like, now again, before David's decision, and I don't say David and I are best friends or anything, but we're good enough to text back and forth once in a while. I had no idea. I really didn't. I was like, I could see him coming back. I'm going to go with maybe he's coming back. I'm leaning that way. But it just seemed like the last 2 weeks or so, the stock was going up for David Roddy. More and more people were talking about him nationally. And so maybe that stock continues to trend up here in the next couple of weeks before the draft.
You know what? I think to your point, and I think you really nailed it, and I thought about this too, as the combine wrapped up. When you meet David Roddy, you like David Roddy.
Right.
There were a lot
right.
of Nuggets folks there who only cover the Nuggets. As you know, it's a very specialized market. There's not a lot of crossover. And fortunately, in my position as a columnist, you get to kind of bounce around a little bit between beats. And they're like, wow, that guy's great. We'd love to have him here. I'm like, yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, so he'll be gone before they get him, before they get a chance. But that's true. And I think that's helping his stock, too, because once you get him and meet him face-to-face, on top of all the game footage and what you know about him on the court, the idea that he could represent your team off the court is going to be a little plus, too. And I think that is going to help him as he does these interviews. And I, you know, more people meet you, the more, yeah, you know, he'll be a good politician one day if he's too smart to go that route. But if he ever did,
yeah.
he has those kind of skills. He's a good schmoozer and a good guy. And that comes off. And in the interview process, whether that's the NFL, the NHL, or the NBA, MLB, whatever, when those executives see you and they like you, that sticks in their mind. And I'm sure he will in a lot of places, and that'll help his stock.
We're talking to Sean Keeler of the Denver Post, all things Nuggets / David Roddy. I saw a couple of pictures of him and Michael Malone joking around, yucking it up. And I got, like I said, fanboy came out at me. I'm like, oh my goodness, this combo, you know, one of our guys that we've loved following up here forever. We got Michael Malone, team him up with the Joker. Oh man. I mean, again, the court, like, I'm not even thinking about the court and how it's going to look. I just love the idea of our home, well, not hometown, but home college guy playing for our hometown team. I mean, it would be a dream come true. What was it like with Malone and Roddy? I mean, did it really seem like they were hitting it off? Oh, we might have just lost Sean. Did we lose him? Is he gone? See if you can reconnect with Sean Keeler. Great discussion from the Denver Post. You guys saw all the pictures. There was a couple where David and Michael Malone were just, they looked like best friends. And again, David's that guy. I mean, I did a radio show with him once a week all season. He is easy to talk to. He makes it so much fun. He's one of the good ones for sure. So to Sean's point, coaches meet him and they're going to instantly love him. Sean, before we lost you, I was referencing a picture I saw with Michael Malone and David Roddy. What was that like? I mean, were those two, did it really seem like they were hitting it off?
Yeah, he spent a little more time to what I saw with David than any of the other four guys they had in there, or four or five, yesterday. And I think they'd met before. as we noted, so they knew of each other, and clearly I know Calvin Booth's been out to see him locally a number of times, and a number of Rams and guys in the area. So there was some familiarity there. I'm sure that helped. I asked him what he asked, what they talked about, and he said Malone told him, just take care of yourself. You know, if you're going to have to do five flights in 5 days and run around and meet these teams, get your sleep, get your rest, make sure you're physically right when you're doing these workouts and you get measured by teams and doing what you're doing. And I thought that was it was a little inside baseball for me, but that's what they talked about. And I'm sure, like a lot of us, Michael was charmed by what David brings to the table. But knowing Michael Malone like I do, he's most charmed by guys who can play defense and will do what he wants to do running their system. So if David could be that guy, then that's points in his corner.
Sean, it's interesting. And Nikola Jokic, David Roddy, I don't think they're similar, but there are some things that I looked at throughout this year, especially with Roddy, his court vision. I really thought that was, again, you can't say anybody's comparable to Nikola Jokic when it comes to court vision, but I thought that was something that maybe a lot of folks weren't talking about as much, but his court vision, his passing, looking at those lanes, I felt like he was really good there. So, again, just imagining him being under Joker, watching him more, boy, that could only be a positive at the end of the day for David Roddy.
Well, and what's similar is both offenses ran through those respective guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the difference is you had a 6'5", 6'6", guy doing it at a high mid-major level, group of five level, versus a 6'11 guy doing it against the best guys in the world. Yeah, but to your point, he's a fabulous passer. His basketball IQ and academic IQ in general are off the charts. You know, there are some similarities there. Now, how does that translate at this level in this system? I don't know. I mean, he's not going to be the Nuggets backup center. Can we just put that on the table right now?
Right.
That's not the part. And in fact, I think he knows that he has to be a wing defender and B, a wing shooter, frankly. And I mentioned that in the column this morning. That's what's been most impressive to me about his last 16, 18 months is he was arguably their second or third best 3-point threat. His junior season at CSU on a team that had a lot of really good 3-point shooters and were able to use that effectively. He looked comfortable from the NBA arc, and he's going to have to be, because I think that ultimately, you know, we talk about roles. The NBA loves to pigeonhole you. They love 3-and-D guys who can cover wing guys 2 through 4 and be 3-point threats. Think of your Torrey Craigs. Think of a bigger a smaller Jeremy Grant, but a bigger Gary Harris. They love those guys who can defend on the wing. That's going to be David Roddy's meal ticket if he's going to be able to punch one in this league.
Yeah, well, and I know you outlined this in your article too. Great read, love it. Roddy had noted, you know, kind of comparing himself. I've heard the Draymond Green comparisons a lot. Makes total sense. Jay Crowder, PJ Tucker, and I guess the only knock with Roddy, like you said, is, or like we've kind of talked about, is if you're not going to be, if you're not going to have a specialty, so to speak, then you really have to be special at doing everything. And there's a lot of guys in the league that can do everything, but maybe not like guys like Draymond Green, Jay Crowder, PJ Tucker. So Roddy making those comparisons, I could see him being a guy like that, but that's the thing. If you're not going to be, you know, a sure thing on the 3-point side or defense, whatever, you have to be really good at doing everything right.
Yeah, and again, I think also those front offices, those general managers who like him personally and enjoy his personality and can see that in him, it's personality and it's versatility, to your point. Those are his strengths. And let's reverse that. It'll be versatility and personality. Those are the things that are going to get him a job. And I think defense and shooting are going to help him win a roster spot wherever he lands. So I think those are going to be the four key elements to watch with him. But, yeah, you're right. I think you're seeing an example of those kind of guys. And if his, you know, 3-point acumen holds up the way that it did for Jay Crowder, the way that it does from time to time. Excuse me, his defense, the way that Draymond's defense keeps him on the floor, and his smart mean, his clever mean that the Nuggets could use. You know, those are pretty good guys to follow and pretty good examples to to pitch to teams.
Yeah, last point, Sean. I love that you wrote Nuggets need mean, talking about David Roddy. Isn't it something? We're saying he's the most likable guy in the world. You get to know him. He's fantastic. You watch him on the floor. He is mean. I joked. I did a weekly radio show with him every week this year, and I always joked with him. I'm like, dude, you look so mad. You look like you are ready to rip someone's face off. And then when you're sitting here in the studio, it's like we're best friends. That, to me, is truly unique and special. You don't get a lot of guys like that.
You know what? That's the Minnesota in him, man. he won't say. He'd get a lag. You have to ask him. Tell him it's the hockey player in him. But that's like every Avs player you meet, right? He's that guy. It's like, God, you're killing each other out there. But they're the nicest guys, and you get them off the ice and run them through. That's the Minnesota in Dave coming out there. But, no, it's true. It's a nice duality you have because that mean side can make you a lot of money as long as it's channeled out there on the floor.
No question. That look, there's something about it. When you see that look, and you know it's David Roddy time. So we'll see. Maybe David Roddy time will be with the Denver Nuggets. I know
that'd be great.
Wouldn't that be a dream come true? I'm getting my hopes up already. It's too late, Sean. I read your article. I texted you last night. Hopes are way up. So if this doesn't happen, I'm going to go into a deep, dark depression at some point. So you might want to reach out at some stage.
Hey, save some strength for the cup, Brady. Come on.
Well, we'll see. And now, man, I'm totally cool, by the way, if these two teams just go ahead and beat each other up now. I mean, we're going to go, what, at least six? Let's go seven. Let's throw some triple overtimes in there and let these guys hurt each other a bit before the Avs get set to take on either the Lightning or the Rangers. We'll see.
Yeah. If you're an Avs fan, you're kind of rooting for one of those starting goalies to get kidnapped or beat up the other and start a giant full-scale brawl. So they're not ready to go the next round. Then you know the hockey gods are shining on you. Then you absolutely know it's your year, baby.
No question, man. Sean, appreciate you, dude. Let's do this again. You're fantastic. I love your stuff. And we'll be looking forward to catching up with you soon, okay?
All right. Thanks, man. Take care up there.
All right, dude. There it is. Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. Great guy. I see him a lot. You know, it's funny. Radio guys are weird. Jades, you know this by now, right? Radio guys are weird. We're very vocal in here. We talk a lot. We're boisterous. We get out there. We say a lot of things. We make a lot of predictions. We talk a lot of smack. But when I'm out at media events, I'm pretty quiet. I kind of clam up and I just am. I'm observing the room around me. So I've actually never met Sean in person. We've never talked in person. I'm there amongst the media members at CSU, and sometimes I'll go down to see Nugget stuff and Buff stuff. And I'm pretty to myself. I like to just analyze the situation, take it all in, spew it all out on the whole show the very next day. But Sean Keeler, fantastic stuff from him. We'll be catching up with him very, very soon, I'm sure about it. 12:49 the time. Will David Roddy, will he go 21? Do you think that the Nuggets should draft him with pick number 20? Is it too early? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. That's our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Should the Nuggets draft CSU's David Roddy with their 21st pick? You know what? Why the hell not? You don't need anybody right now. So I'll talk about it coming up. What I mean by that is you don't need anybody in the draft. The Nuggets need to get better, but I don't see anybody in the draft going to make them better. They're not going to widen that championship window for Nikola Jokic and company. So go with the David Roddy guy that might maybe be a project kind of dude, but very coachable. Go for it. Let's go 21. I'm all in, or trade back and get him somehow. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Allen Communications Studios. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Should the Nuggets take him at 21? He wore 21 in college. That's enough logic for me. Go for it. We'll be right back.
Insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We got to get to the good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank because we stacked it up, man. Zach Stevens, Broncos talk, Sean Keeler, Nuggets and Roddy talk. So we had to make time for those guys. Fantastic work by both of those great writers, great outlets on both sides. All right, Jades, the good for me, hey, the Rockies are They're undefeated last night. They won. They are off the snide. They have a two-game winning streak against the Giants, too. And Charlie Blackmon was the reason for the go-ahead. He gets his 200th homer and ultimately leads the Rockies to a 5-3 victory over San Francisco.
High fly, deep right field. Take a good look. There's number 200 into McCovey Cove. Three-run jack for Chuck Nasty.
Into Cubby Cove. Did you see the dudes on the little rafts swimming out there? And I love Charlie Blackmon to death, dude. How much is that ball going for, Jades? Be honest. You're the No Limit collectibles guy. More, I mean, I love No Limit, but you know the values of these things. 200th home run? Give me a ballpark idea.
For Charlie Blackmon, probably $600, maybe?
$600?
Maybe, give or take.
Okay, so it's worth diving in there for it. Yeah, I would do it.
But they might also do a deal to get it back to him.
Oh, really? Yeah, I bet. I bet so. He's going to want that. The bad for me is PitchCom. Jades, I tried to tell you, and everybody disagreed with me. Every game I watch now, I'm seeing an issue with PitchCom. There was an issue in the game last night. The dude just lost it. He couldn't find it. The other night I saw a game, and they couldn't hear. And you got the guy with the mitt up to his head. He's like, hello? Hello? And it takes longer. This is a waste of crap. You can't trust robots. Okay. I have to stop smiling here because the next thing is just, it just continues to get worse, dude. The ugly is Deshaun Watson. It just, when is this going to stop? Another report comes out. According to ESPN, well, no, the New York Times reported Tuesday that Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson booked massage appointments with at least 66 different women over 17 months. From fall of 2019 through spring of 2021. The list of 66 includes the 24 women who have filed lawsuits against Watson, including two in the past week. And now, again, that 66 doesn't mean that's how many have come forward for a lawsuit, but when you start to see numbers like 24, you're wondering, are we going to get to 30? This is crazy, dude. And Cleveland's even crazier. Regardless of how this thing turns out for Deshaun Watson, innocent, guilty, who knows? Then why? But the case is still ongoing. If you're Cleveland, you just mortgaged, was it three first-round picks, Jades, that they gave up for Deshaun? You mortgaged your future. You pissed off your current quarterback. Now you're screwed. You set your organization back 5 to 10 years easy with this move. They better hope Deshaun Watson, for several reasons, is found innocent. Boy, it's starting not to quite look like that, though, right? We're going to talk to Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. More Nuggets talks because we got a lot to get to. Second hour of the whole show coming up next. Let's make a night. You won't remember.